find the verse the word timsa. So it would appear, off just looking at the pasuk at face value, that timsa yadcha l'cholidecha idecha is a person who wants to destroy you physically. And therefore, you have to physically respond with your bare hands. Soinecha is someone that wants to destroy you, not physically, but politically, or wants to destroy you spiritually. He's the invisible enemy. What? An invisible enemy. It's not something that is physical, and you can interpret it in any different ways. So it's spiritual. It's spiritual. If you want to say that it's more political, to destroy your ability, he's something that's not coming against you with weapons of mass destruction, but coming against you with techniques that constrain you and limit your ability to succeed. Let's see the Tzudas Gavit, Pasuk Tes. Also back to back. Oh, right. So there, I'm sure the Mepharshim there must speak about it. What it means. Many terms here. Let's see what's over here. Maybe we'll see prepared over here something. Let's see. Pasuk Tes, it says Pasuk Tes in the midst of the study. Timsa Tastik Makas Yadcha Ledecha may be sufficient. Okay, the Makas Yadcha Yimincha Timsa Yitzan Lemar Tasti Game, you shall overcome them. Below Yuchlu Limatzel, the enemy will not be able to escape. Okay, let's see Rashi. Okay, according to Rashi is something very interesting. And he says, Timsa Yadcha, he has a whole new knach. Yadcha is anything that you can do to them. When it says Yadcha, the addition of Yadcha means don't hold back. Call Makas Yadcha Sheyesh Lucha Lahavi, anything that you can possibly do, do it. Don't hold back. If you have weapons, use them. Hashem gave you the weapons to use them. Okay, let's see over here. Let's see if we try to see the difference in the Malbim. The Malbim, let's look at the Parish of Milos. Yadcha Yimincha, Kishabahu near Dofim, Yitzay Meshem Yad. Now, when it says the word, the Yad and the Yamin together, it's a very interesting expression from the Malbim on page 189. And the Beyer Hamilis on the left side explains the words, Kishabo Nir Dofim Yitzayim B'Shem Yod Elasmol V'Simsoim Nir Dofim Yahevlobin Oyevin Soni Lamala Yudches. Okay, so let's go back. We're not going to go back now, we want to go further. Let's see. The one thing I want to point out, this is a very interesting expression. When you have two words back to back, then this is a very important principle. Then the meaning of the word changes. In other words, whenever it says the word yad, is stam yad the right hand or is stam yad the left hand? So basically, the Malbim is telling us that stam yad is the right.
That's a general
rule. However, he says over here a very interesting rule. But when you have the word yamin in the same pasuk, or what he calls it, near dofim, in rapid succession, like you're being pursued, it's happening again and again. When you have the word yad together with the word yamin, then the meaning of the word yad means the left. And that's a very important principle in translating words, because a word is not always translated the same way. Just because a word is translated one way in one section does not mean that the word should be translated exactly the same elsewhere.
By the way, page 148. Page 148 explains it.
Okay, let's go back. Let's see. Page 148, the Malbim. Okay, let's go back to page 148. Well, let's first finish this idea. This idea is a very important idea, that a word is judged by its context. Words in Lashon HaKodesh are not concrete. They're abstractions. And the abstraction, the precise meaning of the word will depend on the context, on its surrounding, the words that surround it, its environment. In the English language, it's not usually the case. In other languages, a word has a clear definition. It's a dictionary. Sometimes words have many definitions, and you have the ability to adjust depending on how it's being used. But generally, this Mickey Mouse is driving crazy, man. I'm looking on the screen and I see Minnie Mouse. I see Minnie Mouse. Okay. The word yad, in the Hebrew, in English, in other languages, words have a very precise meaning. There's a dictionary, you look up the word in the dictionary, and it's defined, and that's what it means, and there's no room to budge. In Lashon HaKodesh, it's clear as day, a word has no definition. Words are abstractions. They have shoroshim. And a word is all is judged based on its context, on its environment. There's a basic abstract meaning of a word. There's the shorosh of the word, the basic letters. But that is very broad. And in order to define any single word, it only can be defined based on its context. So a yad means a hand. There's a left hand, there's a right hand. If this was English, you have the word yad. The English dictionary would say the word yad automatically means the right hand. The right hand. So then every time you come to a pasuk like this, it says yemincha, and it says the word yad. If this would be something, I'm just giving a very, very broad, abstract example, a word would have a definite meaning. Therefore, if it says the word yad, it means the right hand. It says to be mincha, your right hand. Okay, so it's repetition. But that's not the way it works in Lashon HaKodesh. In Lashon HaKodesh, a yad is an abstract hand. And that word, it could mean the right hand, it could mean the left hand, it could mean your reach. It means where your mind wants to go and grab hold of something, a concept. Now, when you have a pasuk and you have an environment and it says the word yimincha, yimincha clearly refers to the right. So now when it says yad, it forces yad in this context to mean the left. Okay, this is a mashal. This example is true for every single word in Lashon HaKodesh. And that's why you can't force a translation in one pasuk based upon the translation that you had in another pasuk. Of course, you go to another pasuk, it's a very good starting point to figure out what it means. But since here we have in rapid succession pasuk, in our pasuk we have here the word timsa yod cholecholodecha, and then it says yimincha timsa soimecha. So being that it says yimincha at the end of the pasuk, it has to mean that yodcha, the beginning of it means your left hand. And that opens up an interpretation, which means that the yad, that the left hand is going to be directed to the oivin, and the right hand is going to be directed towards the soinim, which is the stronger hand. The stronger hand is the right. The left is the yad keho, the weak, from the tefillin, the yad keho, the weaker hand. Furthermore, the left, li'oyla mihe doicha b'smoil u'mekare v'yamin. In Chazal's terminology, of Chol, what's wrong? Of Chol is not happy here.
No, I don't at all.
What do you mean? Explain.
The whole position of God is the right. The right
okay.
is the power hand.
Okay.
Yimin Hashem that rovi ba'kola. Yimin Hashem tirats o yeh.
So what's the left?
It doesn't say the left.
Well, Hashem doesn't have a left hand. Hashem is only two right hands.
No.
Yes. He's always right.
No, only when it says, but dacha in the plural,
okay.
Then that has a different meaning. But usually Hashem only means one. With one hand tied behind his back, the power hand is to the right.
So you're just saying something different than the Malbim.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm going in the way of the mom. I understand you have a different approach. I'm not coming to disagree because the Malbim is one of many commentators, and certainly there are other commentators. But the Malbim has this idea where he says, "Don't judge a word with an absolute. Give a word an absolute meaning. Where it says the word yat stam, it's the right. In this pasuk, it says the word yimincha." That pushes the word yad in this particular pasuk to mean the left. Once you do that, according to the Malbim, you're opening up this pasuk to interpretation, because we do know what it says in Chazal. La'ilam hi adam doicha b'smol makar b'yamin. How do you turn a person around? You see a person standing. You see a person who's going far away, and you want to turn him around. What do you do? With your right hand, with your right hand, you pull him. And with your left hand, you push him at the same time. Mm-hmm. I go to a person's shoulder, one shoulder, I pull. On the other shoulder, I push. My left, I push. And the right, I pull. What happens? You turn them around. When you do use the two hands together, you pull with the right and you push with the left, the result is the person turns around. Two hands, there's a lot of chokhmah in the koichos of two hands. You doiche the small and you mekarvi. Let's see what he says over here. Oh, so kaf.
Shaul is yad. He was the Shemini, but Shaul is not like the Oyvim. Oyvim has kaf, and Shaul is yad.
So they're saying there's another word. In addition to yad, yimincha and yad, is kaf. There's a third. Hashem has three hands. Okay, very interesting. Okay, let's take a look at the Malbim on page 144. 148. To explain how he explains the difference between the right and the left. Okay, page 148. Let's look at Pasuk Yuches. The Malbim back, going back to explain the what he refers to. Pasuk Yuches. Look at the Malbim. The Malbim, the Be'er Hamilos. Page 148. The Be'er Hamilos from the Oyvi Umisonai Ha'oyev Uyosim and Asoine. And Oyev is worse. So you might say, Soine Bilti Dorish Ro'ah. The names Sagam Aldvarme Hegyoinim. Soine hates concepts. Okay, politicians. People have concepts. Soine Botsa. One second here. Okay, Soine Botsa, someone who hates bribery, profit, illegal gain. That's not a physical soine. Soine toichachas, a person who hates rebuke. Umoisif sheyish mireu gami soinov sheinu osam giluya kolkach. A soine is hidden. This is what we said before. A soine is something that it's not physical. Someone who is plotting and planning, it's not nikur what they're trying to do to you. Von yirdofim b'sefer zeh. Yilches, he writes over here, look, all the prokim, look at the incredible bikias. That's a computer. He did all this over here. All the different places where you find these two words being used together. There's an oyev and a soine. An oyev, physical harm. A soine is a conceptual harm. You talk about the difference between Purim and Hanukkah. Purim, Haman was an oyev. Ish tsar v'oyev. Ish tsar v'oyev. Haman hara hazeh. Okay, so what did Esther say to Ahasuerus? Haman is an oyev. He wants to physically destroy us. The Yavanim were soinim. They didn't want to physically destroy us. They wanted to destroy our religion.
That's why you need a yamincha against a soinim.
So you say you need against a soinim is even worse. You're saying right, that a soinim. You can even with the left. He's saying very good. When it comes to a soinim who's a soinim, they're trying to undermine you spiritually. They're a much greater threat. So you need Hashem's right hand. The koyach, when it comes to this, in the oyev, they're dangerous, but you know what you're dealing with. You know exactly what you're dealing with, and if what you could, the degree of danger you're saying, you're suggesting is less. Interesting. All right, let's go back. Let's now go back to Perek Chav, page 188. We're up to Pasuk Yud.
Can I say that, my
idea
of the
chat? Yeah.
We learned, I think last week and week before, about you go to when you go to Muhammad, you have to have a yad on your belt.
The yad tielcha al azeya, a shovel.
A shovel for what?
To your waist, to cover your waist.
So, what I'm learning that is, when you see your becha, lift up your shovels, give them the hand. And while they're being distracted by that, give him a
stick
to get
with
your right
hand. Tim
so yaducha l'chol oivecha.
Show him you're holy.
Show
him the shovel. He's saying, be yod tielcha al azeinecha. You should have a yod, a shovel with your weapons. I hear maybe you're onto something, but I don't know exactly what.
Yeah.
It sounds like
the woman who fell into the tree.
What's
up?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
You're on to something. Okay, let's go past you. Pasuk Tishisemo Kisaner Esh. this is a klala. May you set them in a fire, a time of fire, la'es panecha Hashem, the apo at the time panecha, at the time of your anger, Hashem, the apo yivaleim, Hashem, with your anger, may you swallow them up, the sechlein esh, may fire consume them. Let's pass again this to start. Tishi seimoy, yasmid bohem o esh k'moy b'tanur. He learns word tishi. This word is repeating itself multiple times in many different contexts. It means to set. But in this context, it means a continuous. There should be a continuous fire. Yasmin, a continuous setting of fire, kamo esh, le'es panecha, be'es ka'asva, at the time of your anger. To order your panecha, it's the second time we have the word, if you take note in this mizmah, the word panecha appears multiple times, like a play on the word, A lot of poetry with how the word panecha is being used. We had back in Pasuk Zayin, ki shisisimu v'docha islo'ad, t'chadeu v'simcha es panecha. And that meant, according to all the interpreters that we learned, at least our limited learning, is when they greet you, either when David will greet Hashem in Gan Eden, or when the Melech HaMashiach will greet the Shekhinah in this world. So the word panecha means your ponim, your beautiful ponim, the ponim of the Shekhinah. In this pasuk, the word panecha means your anger. Exactly the same word, but it's been used in different contexts. And over here in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you get angry because of the sins, the crimes that are taking place in this world, you should allow your anger to flare and to consume our enemies. Okay, the different shot. Okay, that's a different shot. I hear. Okay, that's a different interpretation. Maybe somebody says that. But the Mitzudas and Rashi are using the word ponecha in this context, be'es ka'asva, at the time of your anger, oz yivalein bi'apo, you will wipe them out, you will devour them with your anger, v'sechleim o'esh, the fire will consume them. Rashi, something very similar, is ponecha, be'es zamecha, time of your zam, anger, okay, that's same as ka'as, be'apo yivalein, tefila hi zo. And what is the Rashi coming over here to say? Tefila hiza. What does Rashi mean with this? Look at the sifsei zikena on the right side. The apoti of alem tefila hizo kavanosai. What is Rashi coming to say, Mr. Cohen? How are you feeling today? No cane today, right? Baruch Hashem, getting better. Fuah shalema. Tefila hizo kavanosai afsham avloshem nistar. We call makom he tefila kimashmos kol even shol ma'ilosh in derech tefila midaber lemenchayach v'nistar baruch ato Hashem. Asher kiddushanu v'kal lohavin. It's kal for the sifsei zakenim to understand, but it's kosher for us to understand. Okay, now what it means as follows. First of all, let's go backwards. Let's take a step backwards. Every time we make a bracha, we change terms. We first talk to Hashem directly. Baruch atah, you. And then we say Elokeinu, our God. We say Asher Kiddushon, who has sanctified us. We change Asher Kiddushnu. We should really say Asher Kiddushto. You have sanctified us. Yeah, we speak in the third term. What would the Rebbe like? Would the Rebbe like, you ever see a wife talk to her husband in third term? What would my husband like for dinner tonight? the Sefer. The husband. What would the husband like tonight? The Sefer Hasidim says that when a husband comes home from work, his wife should take off his shoes and should call him Rebbe. What does the Rebbe? I get into a lot of trouble here. Anyone hears what I just said, right? Okay, but over here, when we talk to Kodesh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, we speak to him like a child, directly. You, Baruch Atah. But then we become very respectful and we say, Asher Kiddushon, he has sanctified us. We don't say, Asher Kiddushto, you have sanctified. We speak respectfully. So here, the Sif says the kingdom is coming to the point over here, that in this pasuk, which term is it? It says here, Yivloein v'sechlem esh, may they be consumed by fire. What he's saying over here is, there's a contradiction in this pasuk. The pasuk starts off where we speak to Hashem directly. Hashem, where at the time of your anger, with the previous pasuk test mentioned, there's someone called an oyev and there's a soine. We're discussing, and we say back when we pasuk that pasuk test, we speak directly. Your hand, you Hashem, timso yoducha, may your hand obliterate all of your enemies. May your right hand find your enemies. May you ignite a fire at the time of your anger. And then all of a sudden, we're changing terms. We're changing the person. We're now going to speak in third person. The Hashem, the Eis Apo, the Apo. At the time, the Apo, in his anger, it should say, in your anger, we should be consistent. Just as we said in second term, pasuk called second term, right? Is that called second term? You say you? You is second term?
Second person.
Second person, sorry. Second person. First person is by yourself. Is that correct?
I.
And second person is you. And third person is he. Okay? Everyone know that rule?
We're not playing around that game
here. Ooh. Okay, I, you, and he. I is first person. You is second person. He is third person. So here we're going from second person to third person. That's a no-no. That is a violation of all the rules of grammar. If you were in third grade, you would get an F in the course. If you would write psukim like this. And yet, when we have Tehillim, David HaMelech gets away with it. He got Nobel Prize.
Oh,
Pulitzer Prize. He got away with this. What's the pshat? It's not a kasha. Because this is the Derech of Tzila. In the Derech of Tzila, we start out in second person and we transition into third person. You know what it's like? It's like Avinu Malkeinu. Just like the famous Tzila, Avinu Malkeinu. What's Avinu Malkeinu? Avinu, there's a different type of relationship. People don't talk to their father in third person. It's just not the way it is. Let's be realistic here. You talk to your father, there's a certain closeness, and you speak to your father directly.
No, but we have, you know,
a Rebbe, a Melech, so a Melech. A Man Malkei Rabbanan.
I was never trained to do that, but
in certain places,
a lot.
Chaim Olin, not so much anymore.
It's a new God.
What?
Boston would never address his Rebbe in the second person.
Well, in Yiddish, it's very pronounced because in Yiddish, it's ear and do.
Oh, ear and do.
The biggest ear, you say the Rebbe. The biggest do, you say something more familiar.
Right. My grandfather was a Rebbe, so my grandfather was very much Mechabed his Talmidim. So he would always say, I say to my Talmidim ear, and they talk back to me, do. That's what he used to say. It's what you're saying is very true. This is something which I once saw this, it really struck me. I grew up in a high school where I told you many times my menal was a kind of single Zeratak L'Rafa. And he had this mahalich where he would talk to a ninth grader like he's talking to a chosh of a person. The ninth grader, a freshie, a little kid over here. Okay, he was wearing white sneakers and his hat, his brim is still up on his hat, right? Running around, doesn't know what's going on. And he talked to a ninth grader as if he's talking, I won't say to a Rosh Hashiva, but he was talking to a distinguished individual. And when this boy, ninth grade, hears the Menahel talk to him ear with such derecherets, it was very unsettling. And it forced that boy, that ninth grader, to become mature overnight. It's a very powerful technique. And his yisoid was, a boy in eighth grade is a baby. It's a baby, give him a sippy cup and make sure he comes with an extra pair of diapers. A boy, an adult, is an adult. supposedly, hopefully, someone one day will grow up. Some people never grow up. A boy in high school, he said, he would say, is it's nishtahi nishtahe. They're babies, but they could be adults if they really wanted to. If you talk to them like adults, they become adults. They're already at a stage in their life where you can, they can now transition to become, but they have to be, someone has to work on them. And if you talk to them like a baby, they'll be a baby. So his policy was he treated his talmidim, the Chaim Siegel, like adults, like mature adults. He spoke to them in a very dignified way, very, he treated like a ninth grader as if he was talking to a rough. Not just a joke. This, and it was very disturbing. It really was. And the Mela, the boys, some of them at least, they matured very quickly and they became chashuv people. So years later, I went somewhere, and for tekufa I was in a certain place, and every day I need daven mincha. So there was a yeshiva in the neighborhood. So I went to daven in the yeshiva mincha every single day. And it was a good yeshiva. So it was a chashuv yeshiva, and the manal was a very big talmud chacham. And I daven mincha, and I saw how the manal ran the show. He literally treated the high school kids like kindergarten, like in kindergarten. The way he spoke to them, the way he the incentives he gave them to behave, to be quiet during mincha, and the way just the way he conducted himself, he talked to them like he's talking to the kindergarten children. And the kids, they responded in kind. You talk to us like we're kid, like we're in kindergarten, so they behave like they're in kindergarten. And I remember how that tekufa, I was like, my jaw dropped. And like, I never appreciated that when I went to high school, I was very fortunate, to have a very chashuv menahel, where he didn't even realize what he was doing. I mean, he spoke about this, is to treat high school students like the chashuv people.
Like adults.
Adults. And that way you raise them. You raise them to a higher level. And when you saw that, you didn't appreciate it. When you saw the contrast, wow. It really struck me. Really. And the truth is, it's not just with high school. I see it with parents also. If you talk to like a child, a parent, if you talk to a child on their level, you're just gonna push them further into you always have to talk to someone a little bit higher, a little bit above what they are, to raise them. When you have someone in kindergarten, you talk like he's in first grade. Someone in first grade, you talk like they're in third grade. Okay, obviously, I mean, you know, you can't go talk to a child like an adult because, you know, but to raise a person, you have to go a little bit higher.
Right. My son has a seminary in Lakewood, and finally, he says it's now the transformation. Transformation. They were previously in elementary school, high school. Now they have to be treated, you know, like adults.
You raise them, but the danger is
now they're transforming into, you know, those, you know, mothers.
Chashuv people. Israel, yeah, dignity. This is what we need in this generation more than anything else. Dignity. Chashivas. Not to be babies. All right. Any event over here. So this part of the tefillah, we transition from du to ir. You start off Baruch Atah. And then all of a sudden, Elokeinu, our God. You refer to Asher Kiddushanu. We don't say Asher Kiddushto. We don't say Atah. What would you say for Hashem? I'm a little confused. But let's say Asher Kiddushto. You don't say Asher Kiddushto. Asher Kiddushanu. You have sanctified us. We transition into third person. So over here, that's exactly different. That is the style in prayer, just like Avinu Malkeinu. You start out, Hashem, you're Avinu. I can talk to you like I talk to my father. I can talk to you. I don't need any appointment. A child needs an appointment to come to his father. You go right in. Go right to the front door.
Don't say Avichol.
Say Avinu. Well, Avichol, your father. Then you have to say it. I don't mean the grammar. I don't mean here the grammar. I mean the relationship. A father versus a king. I'm not talking about, so a father, you don't need an appointment. You just go walk right in. A king and melech, you don't walk right in. You have to have an appointment. You gotta have an appointment. So there's Avinu, there's a relationship of Avinu, and there's a relationship by Hashem of Malkeinu. It's a complex relationship. When we make a bracha, we express that concept. Atah, we speak directly, and then we transition. In the bracha, we all of a sudden we have ultimate respect. We stand back and we talk back on the Shabbat as if he's our king. We speak in third person. So in this pasuk here, that's exactly what's happening over here. We start out in the previous pasuk of Timso Yodcha, L'chol Oyvecha, L'chol Oyvecha, Yeminicha, Soineecha. Tishi Seimo, may you set him. Tishi Seimo, Kisano Eish La'is Konecha. And now all of a sudden, we're transitioning to Malkeinu. We're transitioning to third person. Hashem, Be'avon, his anger. It's not Be'apicha, Yivla'im. It's not Yivla'im. This may they be consumed when they're not really that they told with the apo the eshcha. It says esh, the esh, and also to the apo in his anger. Yeah. It should say the apicho.
It's not nice to say to the king, attacko es.
You're angry, uh-huh.
I'm never angry.
Interesting. So this is what he means over here, tefillah hizo. This is how the Sif say these words are very hard words, really, to say what he means. Tefillah hizo, he has this very interesting interpretation, the Sif say zikanim, that don't be concerned about the grammar. This and what Rashi over here is coming to explain to you is that is the derech of tefillah to switch over. Eliezer, welcome back. Shalom. Okay, so look over here. You okay? Everything okay?
Yes, passed over.
It never passes over. Yes.
A fine point, but this word that she's saying, which obviously repeated over. And again, in the well-known this word, she's saying on the debate of I'm thinking it's not just to put in place, but to set up. Set up for a downfall.
Aha, you're saying a homily, a drush.
In these contexts, consistently it seems to be set up.
He's saying something very interesting. To set them up to fail. Okay, that's an education. You take a course. He's saying the word tishu seimo, b'chol l'sin, the word tishu seimo, which should not just be interpreted simply to set. It means to create a plan. There is a complex plan when you set somebody up to fail. You set a stage. There's an elaborate, like when you play chess. What do you do in the first step? A real chess master. What does he do in the beginning of the chess game? He sets up an environment to bring about a magnificent defeat. So Rabbi Chol is saying the word Tishu Seimo is a rich word, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Golus in all these years, he's setting up all the chess pieces for the climax, for the moment of a magnificent defeat. A magnificent defeat. It's a very, very powerful idea. In the world of education, they take a course in education. One of the first things they teach teachers, today everything is into education. Teachers need education, not teach, is don't set up a child to fail. You put a child in an environment where there's no way he's going to succeed. And then comes the time, and the disaster is just horrific. And who's to blame? You, the teacher. You set him up. On the first day of class, you put things in motion which are going to mushroom, and this child at the end of the year is going to suffer a magnificent defeat. And that's a tragedy. You have to be very careful not to not even realizing it, inadvertently, to set up a student to fail. You have to make sure that you have a plan with the child at every point in time has the ability to succeed and not has challenge and to succeed. So Mecholovi is saying that these wicked people are so wicked. You should set them up. Set up a plan and this world will ultimately, the fire will burn and destroy them when the moment of truth comes. That moment of Zam, Notice it says the word ace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Everyone knows the story with Bilam. Bilam, he wanted to curse the Jewish people at a very specific moment. Chazal said that there's a very precise moment during the day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, and if Chas v'Sholom, our enemies, are the katre at that moment, it can be very great danger. And Bilam, he knew that moment and was waiting for that moment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us miracles. On that day, he wasn't angry. On that day, he decided not to be angry, because if he would have been angry on that day, then Bilam would have known when to be mekatreg, and it would have caused enormous damage. Rather, would there be mayor? And the mayor had in his neighborhood some people that were causing him tsar. And he sat, he took the chicken, he took the rooster, because Chazal said the moment Hashem gets angry is when the crown of the rooster has streaks of red. A very specific moment in the day, the crown of the rooster turns red. And he was waiting and watching. And he fell asleep. He must have been listening to the morning kolo. He fell asleep at that moment. And then he realized it was b'hashkacha pratis to go to shir that day, to listen that day, because Hashem doesn't want the wicked people. No, that was another mice. Okay. It was part of the mice. It was a good mice. Tamu chatoyim v'loy chaitim. It's not the proper thing to do to wish the defeat of the Rishayim. You have to wish that they should do teshuvah. Chayzer b'shuvah. Okay, let's go further to Basa Gidal. Yeah. Oh, wow. He's saying very good. He's saying Bilam. This whole ma'is is midum is in this pasuk. Yivaleim Bilam. Give it like a play on the words. Return it. Boomerang on them. Bilam was the one who invented. Bilam was the one who invented this concept that you should try to be the katrik at the ace, the moment of zam. Le ace ponecha. Rashi says ponecha is zam, the moment of anger. Who's the one that invented this? Bilam. So adarabah yivaleim. Let the rishus that they try to do to us at the Ezam boomerang on there. Beautiful. See, I have a count over here. Mom, she says stuff here. Unbelievable. That's stuff. The word is Rachel, put two thumbs up. Rachel, you back on Twitter?
You never censored? Never on Twitter.
You never on Twitter? It's a mile if they have been censored. It's like a coffin.
I might join it.
Yeah. Okay, let's go further. Pir yamoi me'eretz ta'abei, pasuk yud aleph. Pir yamoi me'eretz me'eretz ta'abei, is their fruit. A person's peros. Wicked people also produce peros in this world. From the earth may it be destroyed. Vizar'om. Now you have to repeat the word ta'abei. The word ta'abei has to be repeated. Vizar'om me'bnei adam ta'abei. That's what we do all the time in Nidim. Whenever we have a doubt, whenever in doubt, repeat. That's the rule of thumb in Navi. You have a pasuk that's a little bit obscure, so find some mystery word and repeat the word a second time to make sense of it. So if a periyam with their fruit from the earth, it should be destroyed. Vizaram, their seed, mebnei adam, from mankind, also te'abed. That's how the pasuk is meant to be understood. Let's read the mitzvah, the other pasuk, yud base. Yod Beis the Mitzvah is David. Pasuk Yud Alf. Pir Yamo Binehem. They're children. Okay, children are called Bonecha Kishsile Zaysim Saviv Neshulchanecha. Like Zaysim, like plants of saplings of olives. Children are fruit, the fruit of a person's womb. The Zarom and their seed, Kofal Adab Yulashem, this is poetic repetition, Rashi, Pasig Yud Aleph, period.
It's like Tibiemo, the Sita Emo.
Poetry.
It's a fancier.
Okay.
Yeah. Uru.
It's a poetic expression. Let's see Pasig Rashi. Rashi, Pir Yamoy, Me'eret Sabet, Yakodesh Baruch Hu, Mispalel, Shiabin Zarish, Shul Esa Parasha. He's being Mispalel over here, he's being Mispalel part of the Tila, and Yakodesh Baruch Hu should destroy the seed of Esa Parasha. Okay, let's go past the Gibbeis. Kinatu Alecho Ra'ah, Choshvu Mizima Bal Yuchalu. Now, what does it mean the word not to? Not to means to tilt. Hodal means to tilt. Look at the Mitzudos Sion. Mitzudos Sion doesn't say anything over here. What's even Mitzudos David? Pasuk Yibes Kinotu. Al Kinotu La Sois Ru'on Lumulecha K'moy Shememar Yisyatsu Al Hashem Yal Meshicho. They stand firm against Hashem and His Anointed One. So the word Notu
here, he translates as directed. They have directed.
Excellent. Great word. I like the great. It's very good. Notu Lecharo. They have directed. What is little, how does the word not usually mean literally? Usually it's like to tilt.
Or incline.
To incline. Like you lean forward. But in this context, it's like, that's much better. That's like, they directed. They're at the control center and they're implementing plans and policies that are very damaging for the Jewish people. Rabbi Elman, Rabbi Eliyahu, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back.
Can you fix your
film? I like that. Natu means that's I like, that's a great translation. They are directing that throughout the generations. Esav always directed against Hashem evil. Chashum Zimzimin's plans, evil plots. And then it comes out, a very interesting conclusion, Baal Yuchalu, but they were never able to succeed. Despite all of their evil plots and plans, they never were able to be Yuchal. Yuchal, what is it, the word Yuchal? It says by Esav, maybe this is the keyword, it says, Ki lo yocholoi, by yodek ish yimay ara lo sashach, by yar ki,
lo
yocholoi. Lo yocholoi. So perhaps we can suggest that is the key word that Rashi used to base his interpretation, that this, these two psukim, pur yomoi me eretz ta'abei b'zadam, b'zadam b'bnei adam, ki natu olecha rov, choshu mezima ba'al yuchol. How does Rashi know that these two psukim is a tefillah that Hashem should destroy Esav? What's the key word that tells us this is Esav? Ba'al yuchol. Because when Yaakov, vayeovik ish yumei ara lo sashacha, vayar ki lo yocholo, yuchol, I wouldn't say, what is it? That's the word, that he was unsuccessful. He was unable to prevail. And here it says, Baal Yuchol. That's the same exact word. So that is the key word that indicates this entire sequence of Sukkim is discussing Esav for Russia. And he's done here, David is being swallowed. They should be obliterated.
It's amazing that it says,
oh, because Klal Yisrael, then you have it often. When you start up with the Jewish people, you're starting with Hashem. With Hashem. It's really Hashem. It's a Milchemes Hashem. It's a Milchemes Hashem. This is something that's very common. This is a very common theme in Mach, is that when you start up with the Jewish people, you are really fighting against Hashem. It's all one and the same. It's all the Milchemes Hashem. He not took Al Ki not to last Israel Mulech of Mashnama by Yitzhak. Well, the next words, Choshu Mitzud, from the page 188 on the bottom, the last big line. Choshu Mizimo Yachshadu Machashabu Shiab Shalokam Lasaisam. They make plans which it's impossible for them to succeed. Of course, only because Hashem prevents them from succeeding. Rashi, Pasik, Yudbeis. Kinotu olecho ro'o. Now, we learned Rashi before in the previous passage. This is not what I said. Well, no, it is. It's a Kinega titus horosho sha'amar shahorag es atzmo. That's a euphemism that he's put, he stabbed the poroiches, and blood came gushing out. Baal yucholu la'asoysa, something that is impossible. So not to, now this is very, very interesting. You know why? Because in the keynote,
you wouldn't be expecting this.
So you know now, Choshu, he
was under the illusion he committed deicide.
Right. He entered into the Kodesh HaKadosh, he stabbed the Poroiches, and blood came gushing out, and he thought in his crazy mind that he, whatever, to HaKadosh Baruch. Now, he's doing it, and Baal Yuchal, which is impossible. Now, it's very interesting that the Kina, I think it's Kina Tez Zayin in the Kinois, is where we say Zuchora Sho'oster Tsar Bifinim. Okay, Bifinim. Remember what the Tsar, the enemy, did inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. And in that Kina, the whoever was the Kalir, I think the Kalir of that Kina, possibly, probably, we describe the whole mice of Titus and that he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim and what he did. Before it says that, it says exactly the word kinotu. Kinotu kaf of red blood. It says there, I don't remember the exact words. We don't have a kinus here in the room. And but it says there, kinotu, he extended a plumb line of a red. Not to a red, he put a red line. And everyone there has a very hard time. What does this mean? He drew a red line in the ground. And all the commentators, they really stretch it to try to explain what it means there, that he took he made a red line. And it basically means he killed everyone. He committed murder, and red refers to the blood of the Jewish people. There are some interpretations which really were very hard to make sense out of it, but the bottom line is it's a very, very difficult line in that kina. And I'm just thinking now out loud with you, as everyone else would say, there are certain no terms here, I don't want to be a plagiarism. Rabbinic literature by Rabbi Kefet, Rabbi Yevsky, I'm thinking out loud. I learned all these things here from you, all these expressions. And it's fascinating. It says here the word kinotu olechoro'ah. This word kinotu, the same word. And in it says bal yuchalu, which Rashi explains to refer to this specific event of the Churban Bayis Sheni, where Titus went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and if we'll figure out what it means, kinotu olech, on this pasuk, maybe we'll have a better understanding of what the Kalir meant in Kinot Tes Zayin of Kinotu Kav Dam, I think it's Dam or Dom, I don't remember the exact words, but he extended a red line. So Rashi over here, and the Bitzus over here, okay, Rashi just tells us very interesting these words. Let's look successfully, see what it says in Targum, in the Targum Pasuk Yud Beis, Mitul because De Chashilu Aloch Bishta. What does mean the chashilu alach bishta? Again, the word, I don't know what the word chashilu, but that's the problem. You don't know how good Aramaic, the chashilu. Let's see what it says over here. In what? The chashilu. Look at the Targum. Pasuk Yud Beis. Mitul means because. The chashilu alach bishta. Bishta is evil.
Right.
Chashilu machshavan bishav lo yitluch. So what does mean the chashilu? What does that word mean? I do not know what that word means. Let's see what it says here in...
By the way, it says on the Bal here. Bal Yuchalu, and before there was a Bal Yimot. Chesed Hashem, Bal Yimot. And Mesima, Bal Yuchalu. It is the same word, but the opposite. The Oivim, Bal Yuchalu, but the Chesed Hashem, Bal Yimot.
So the word... So there's a poetry. Bal Yimot. Yeah, there's a lot of poetry here. There's a lot of consistent theme, a motif in its style. Okay, let's see the next part, because the next one's even more fascinating. Pasuk Gimel, ki sishisemo shechen v'mei sorot recha. Another word out of the kina. It says not to kav. Kav is a line, like a cord. And here in this pasuk, it says here, you said v'mei sorecha. Sorecha means a cord. You should establish a palpe. What does that mean? You put upon their shoulder. Let's say the Mizpuzapasa Gimel. Ki sishisemo, ki bavurzos. Because of their wickedness, tosim oisei lechelik echot. Hashem, you should do to them the following. You should collect them. Yaakov said, shechem achad al achech. So what does it mean, a shechem? It means a portion. I'm giving you an additional portion more than all of your other brothers. You're going to get a double portion. And the word shechem also means a shoulder. Why is a shoulder called a portion? Maybe because that's where you carry your portion. In ancient times, when you have whatever you have, you carry it on your shoulder. It's your portion. Your chelik, when you come with a basket, when you would come to the Beis Hamikdash to bring bikurim, where would you carry the basket? In your hands? No. On your shoulder. Your chelek, your portion, the way you show that you have a portion is you carry it on your shoulders. The Kohen Gadol, what does he carry on the shoulders? The names of Klal Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol, his chelek, he's carrying his chela. His portion is to represent the Jewish people. He represents, that's my chela, my portion. The words go together. Shechem is a shoulder, but in this context, it means a portion. Here it says, may you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take them and give them, make them into one. Let's see how he explains it more precisely in the Mitzvot David. Kibavurzos tosim oisoi, set him lechelik echad, into one portion. What does that mean? Shayamdu muvdol bepeah achas liyos lematora lachetz. They should be in one location to be the target for the arrow. Okay, b'nei sorecha b'chevel hakeshes. This is the bowstring. Here we're going to shoot the bow, and the target is identified and marked off, and all of the enemies are put in that target. Tichoinein, prepare the arrows. Hachitzin lirois bohem. Now, where in the world are we mentioning of your bows and arrows? This is not Lag BaOmer here. So the answer is, the word meis sorecha is obviously an exclusive, reserved word for a bow and arrow. If you have a bow, you have an arrow. The word meis sorecha is the bowstring. On a bow and arrow, there's a bowstring. It's the cord that you use in the bow. Therefore, if you have a bowstring and that's the weapon, obviously the ammunition are the arrows. And what are we doing? We're taking all of our enemies, we're putting them together in one specific location so that it'll be easy to shoot the arrow and obliterate them. That's what it's mentioning over here. Key, so that Tishi Seimo, you shall set them as Shechem, as one chela, in one isolated location, so that b'mei sarecha, you can then arm your weapon, your bow and arrow, and now tichoinim, you can prepare your arrows to shoot al pinehem, upon them, to shoot and destroy them. Now that's very, there's a lot going on. Let's take a step back. At the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, did Hashem take all of the firstborns and collect them into one house and then have that building collapse upon them? No. There was no, Moshe could have, they could have had a klod, the firstborn klod. And the night of Pesach was the annual event, and all of the firstborns, you remember, member of a club, you have a card. I'm a firstborn. Every firstborn has certain entitlements in society, and they have a big convention. So all the firstborns go to the convention, and the night of Pesach, it was rigged, and they dynamite, boom, all the firstborns were dead. That's not the way it happened. All the firstborns were scattered throughout the entire Egypt. And that night, the Avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh, and every firstborn, wherever he was, there was precision. Wherever the firstborns were, they were all killed. So what's going on over here? Over here, David HaMelech is saying, Hashem, let's make it easy. Let's make it easy. Let's have a convention. And let's take all of the enemies from all over the world. There are wicked people in America. There are wicked people in France. Wicked people in Germany. Wicked people in Australia and Canada and Hong Kong. And we'll bring them together into one location and we'll press the dynamite button, boom. Hashem doesn't need to do that. Hashem is able to take out his enemies with precision wherever they are. What's going on over here? I don't know. This is a different type of punishment. This is the way Mitzvah learns. Ki tishi seimo, you shechem. You will set all of our enemies in one location, in one chelek, so that b'mei sorecha, you'll be able to aim your bow at them, to take them out easily. And now, and to chonein al pneihem, you will prepare your arrows to shoot at these people. Why? Because, go back to the previous pasuk, let's again read the Mitzvot one more time. Ki, one more time, pasuk yud gimel. Ki tishi semo. Ki ba'avur zois. Because of their evil plans, tasimo so lechelik echa. You will set them in one location. Sheyamdu, they will stand moved on, distinct. Bepeya achas, in one corner of the world. Liyos lematora lachetz, to be a target for an arrow. By the way, you know what it means, chet? Chet, what does it mean to we say chet de navera? You spoke during davening, you woke up late, you came late to davening, avak lashmara, okay? Chet. Chet literally means when you're an archer and you miss the mark, you miss the target. That's what the word chet. I will always remember this the rest of my life because I was humiliated once. We were once sitting around, boys and girls, probably at a suda somewhere, and there was some Bishyako girls, and there was me, I was also there. And the person was a very chasha person, and he asked, what is the literal meaning of the word chet? I looked at me, I don't know. And there was a Bishyako girl there, and she said it means to miss the mark, an archer. And the person is deceiving, she, the guys, they know nothing, nothing. The Bishyako girls, they know everything. Yeshiva guy, what are you worth? I was so humiliated. Baruch Hashem, at least today I know something. At least say this thing and this is hate. So here
there are two rayas that it said. There was the Binyamin Rokhata where they shot, they did not miss their
Mr. Mark. This
the other raya was from
Machar Chodesh.
When she went Nosan Hanovi. She said, "Adi yubini bo chatoyim."
Lo chatoyim. This week's Haftarah. This week, Rabbi says, "Machar chodesh, vayomi yohainasan." Machar chodesh. Chodesh is Sunday, Monday. So we haven't learned machar in a very long time.
Right.
It's been a long time since we learned machar chodesh. So this Shabbos, and there talks about the arrows.
Yeah.
Where David said to yohainasan, shoot the arrows, and it go further than the target. So here we have right over here, the Bnei Sorecha. Let's see over here, Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud says.
In modern people, found out in basketball, when you miss a shot,
ooh, wow. You missed the mark. Very good. Excellent. See that? It even trickled down to basketball. I wonder what they say about golf. Okay.
No way.
Under no condition.
No.
Categorically.
It can maybe yes, maybe no. It's allowed. But Baal?
Under no condition.
Never.
Under no condition. Very good. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Under no condition. Excellent. Pasuk you've given them a suit in the Rashi. Ki tishi semo shechem. Asher toshis oisam l'chelek. Sheyichalku Yisrael es memoina. Rashi has an entirely different interpretation. Is that their assets will become our portion. Like Bizas Yamsos. That like just like what Yaakov said to Yosef, I'm going to give you an extra shechem achad al achefa, an additional portion. Here, make their assets ki tishi semo shechem. Set the wealth, the possessions of our enemies as our portion. It will be distributed as spoils to the Jewish people. One more time, the words of Rashi. Asher toshis, may you Hashem set oisam, them our enemies, l'chelek. What does that mean? As a portion. Sheyichalku Yisrael es mo'moina, may the Jewish people divide their money. K'mo shenemar, v'hoya sachra ve'es nana. This is in Yeshaya, the end of the Torah, is they will become, okay, I don't have a whole passage in front of me, but it means there is that their wealth will become the assets of the Jewish people. There's a whole mizmar, there's a whole parak over there describing Yimos HaMashiach, what's going to happen to all their money. With the kash soy secha, the mesa, the mesa, the bowstring, I'm saying the bowstring of their arrow, of the bows, tikoinein chitzecha, may you prepare the arrows, the saz minim, and may you take aim, may you take aim, liroys to shoot al panim. Okay, that's the end of the pasuk is exactly the same as what the mitzvah stuff had said, exactly the same, but the beginning of the pasuk is a little bit different. The Rashi over here is saying something, I think, a little bit easier for us something to relate to, is that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant, like same with the Bizas Yamsuf, with Bizas Mitzrayim, and Bizas Yamsuf, there's also going to be Liyasalovo, Bizas Milchemes Goyglu Mogoy. When the nation were going to try to shoot Jewish people, all of their assets were going to become, you set them as Shechem, as a chelek for the Jewish people to divide. A little bit easier. Okay. Now, we still have to go back and understand, and you have to also know, and I'm just thinking with you out loud, and that is in that kina of Tisha B'Av, where it talks about titos, if you take those two words, they appear there, the word not to, and it says they're a kav. Kav, now a kav is a line. And a mesarecha is a cord. Now, I'm just thinking out with you out loud. And if you take what it says over here, according to Rashi and the Mitzudas, at least according to Rashi, and you would somehow really in a very forced interpretation, Titus and the Romans, when they destroyed the Jewish people, they plundered their wealth. When they came to the Beis Hamikdash, they took all of the assets, all of the wealth of Beis Hamikdash for themselves as a shechet, as a portion. They came, what do they do when they come to the Beis Hamikdash? They looted. And in addition to looting the Beis Hamikdash, they came to the Kodesh HaKadosh and he took a sword and he stabbed the Pareichas and blood came out. So that's what it means over here. It means over here the word kinotu. It means according to they plan, they directed evil. And then it says over here that Hashem should make for us their assets shall go to us. If you play with the same language, because that's what the Paitonim did. The Paitonim, when they wrote tefillos, they wrote tefillos based upon what it says in the psukim. Very rarely did the Paitonim did they come up with their own ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They drew from Tanakh. They drew from Chazal. And they expressed it in some very powerful words. And unfortunately, many of us, myself, we have no clue what it says in Tanakh. Our knowledge is just so little. But if you have a full comprehensive understanding of what it says in Tanakh, and you look at the Nusach HaTfilah, It's a new world. And many of the things that we read in the Piyutim and in even the basic Siddur were clueless. And sometimes it's very embarrassing. You read some of the translations, you read these notes, and they tell you these really bizarre, forced interpretations. And then when you come across what it really means, it's like an eye-opener. We once spent a lot of time, I think, Tikkant HaShavos, Ratzisa Karbon HaSecha. I think that is a very good casualty of not knowing what it really means. And some of the translations, we once gave a whole show on this, maybe we'll do it again one time. The Kanta Shabbos was called Tzivisa Perusheha in Sidure Nisocher. What do those words mean? Tzivisa Perusheha in Sidure Nisocher. So you look in the translation, it's embarrassing. Hashem Tzivis, you commanded its explanation. The perish in with the arrangement of the yayin, of the nesach. What in the world are you talking? And that's what it says there in the translations. All of the different interpretations of what Shabbos means with the arrangement of the wine libations. Are you joking? Is that what it means? You have satisfaction with that translation? You push in. And then when you learn a little bit, it's clear as day that the entire period is describing the Lechem HaPanim. The Lechem HaPanim. And there are 12 breads. and you spread out, and some actually hold there's a mistake, this part of the problem, there's a mistake in the text. It's not with a shin. That's a mistake. Siviso peru seho, a sin. And the sin frois olenu sukash lomecha is to spread out. On the shulchan, you spread out the bread. The whole shulchan is spread out with bread. In sidure nisoch, it's a pasuk in chumash. It means with those pipes, I don't know the fancy words, staves, how do you pronounce?
Staves.
Yeah. The vertical pipes and horizontal pipes. There's a very complex arrangement of
six and six.
Hashem, you commanded that we should spread out the bread on the shulchan with a complex arrangement of poles and shelves just right so the ear can get in between. That's what it means. How come unfortunately we lost the boat? Because we don't pay attention to what we don't know chumash, because in chumash it says the word nisocheha explicitly in reference to the poles and the shelves in Parashas Pekudei, and also Parashas Tetzaveh. And when you know chumash, you know Tanakh inside out, you read something, it's a whole new world. We have to finish over here. Let's go over here. We have one more pasuk. It's one do chabes. Ruma Hashem b'zecha. A very unique word, ruma. It's not the common way that you have that word. Rise up. It's a little bit different when you expect ruma Hashem. Kuma Hashem, right? Wouldn't it be more? Wouldn't you expect it to say kuma Hashem, kuma ruma Hashem b'zecha? Noshi, we will sing when the zamra givura secha your might. We started with lamatzeh Hashem b'zecha yisnach melech. Joy with the Zamra, with Zemira. Excellent. Rashi, listen, this was David. Krishna Shah, this was David. Be'uzecha, if you go to Kechacha, taught him, ask him to the greatness of your power, rise up, li'param il'umas rahim, in order to punish the enemies, the oz nashirim, we will sing Rashi, Ruma Hashem, be'uzecha ala kamim, and those who rise up against you, the Nashiru and the Zamra. Okay, there's not much explanation over here. Over here, given over here, why we're using specifically this word. Is there anything over here that it says in the first one over here? Ruma, Shav Lahoides Hashem the Ibn Ezra. Lahoides Hashem is safe and Nizma, Kihose Yikra Loeba Oiz Hashem, Asha Yihel, Hashem Oscha. What is in the Radak? Radak, Ruma Hashem, the Uzeha Ha'ain, the Kibbutz Sifosayim. The ayin is called a shudok. Yermu called Yisho Ruma Hashem al Ha'ivim, Buzeha Kihoiz, Agur Lahohi Laylan. It's to you, Hashem. It doesn't really explain the significance of what the rumor, this unusual word in this context. Okay? Baruch Hashem, this was about Malcolm Shiach. Tomorrow we're going to start the very popular, very famous Mizmar Chabez. This is what is the Mizmar for Purim. Ashkenazim, Ramah, Al Tikkun Olam, Hey, Ella Mitan Aleph.